Thank you, musicians. We need him. Every hour of every day, in the good times, the bad times, we need him. And I've walked with the Lord for many years, but I can still say, I need him. Every hour, I need him. Amen. Before you're seated, let's turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 5. I have lots of reading to do, so you have to bear with me about this. I was sitting on my back deck about 2 weeks ago, and I felt impressed that this would be something I would speak to you about. In Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 6, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon Jesus to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and they were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon Peter's, and he prayed unto him, thrust out a little way from the land. And then he sat down, and he began to teach the people from the ship. Now when he had finished speaking, he said unto Simon, now go and launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a great multitude of fish. And Simon answering said unto him, but master, we have toiled all night. We have worked hard all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless," everybody say, "nevertheless." Say it again, "nevertheless. At thy word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and the net began to break. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. You may be seated. Jesus said to Peter, launch out into the deep. Now, I just looked up a little bit about Lake Gennesaret, and it is a well-known fact that fishermen caught fish at night in shallow water, not in the deep in full daylight. Now, those of you who know fishing, like our pastor does, we fish as the sun is going down or as the sun is coming up. That's the best time to fish, not in broad daylight. But Peter could obey Jesus and launch out, or he could follow his senses and decline, because after all, Peter was a very experienced fisherman. That was his trade. That was his business. It was so prosperous that he even had partners, because he called the partners to come and help with the great multitude of fish. Peter did not know, but his choice at that point of time would be a very pivotal point for the rest of his life. Peter's decision and the resulting miracle reveal that the single act of obedience to Christ's command can change, or did change, the course of an entire life. Am I making sense? When Peter chose to place his faith in the powerful word of God, his life would never be the same again. And for us, we make choices every day of our life. And some of our choices are good choices, and some of our choices leave a lot to be desired. But we choose how we're going to live today. There's in about attitudes, we choose our attitude. I think it says about 90% of what happens to us and only 10% of how we react is the problem. So we choose our attitudes. With one word, the whole situation was changed, and his entire life, his entire business was changed because he trusted in God, not in his own senses. He could have said, look, that's crazy. We don't catch fish during the day. But he chose to obey. All things can be totally changed and turned around. It all depends on our attitude and our choices. And such is the power of nevertheless. Everybody say that, nevertheless. Peter's whole life was changed because he said, nevertheless, at thy word I will obey. And why was it easy for Peter to do that? Because he had seen God in action. He had seen Jesus in action. Amen? Yes. Right. Let's look at Numbers 13, 23 to 33. Again, some more reading. But come on, we're Bible students as well, Sister Kim. We need to know our Bibles, right? Yes, right. Right. And I'm sure most of you know this story. And these are the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. Out of Egypt into the promised land, and they were still in the desert at this time. And they came to the brook Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch. Now, we know how many people were sent in to spy out the land? Five, six, how many? 12, right. 12 spies were sent out into the land for 40 days to spy out the land, okay? And as they came to the brook Eshcol, they cut down a branch of one cluster of grapes, and they bare it upon two people on a staff, and brought the pomegranates and the figs back in to Moses. And after they returned from searching the land after 40 days, they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of Israel. Everybody saw the bunches of grapes and figs and pomegranates. And they brought back word unto all the congregation, and they showed them the fruit of the land. They saw it for themselves. And they also said, surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of the land. Sometimes we see the good things, but we're not willing. We even see it, we can taste it, but sometimes we're not willing to accept it. Nevertheless, this is in the scriptures. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Now, Anakans are a powerful race of people. They are to be feared. They're warlike people. They are giants, and they're described as tall and great. Yes, they are to be feared if God is not on your side. But Caleb, he stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome and to possess the land. But the men that were with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought an evil report. It is a land that eateth up its inhabitants, the giants. And we were as grasshoppers in our own sight and in their sight as well. How we view ourselves is very important. They saw themselves as grasshoppers, and they said in the sight of the others they were grasshoppers. Okay? Nevertheless, in Mark chapter 14, 35 to 39, Jesus went a little way forward and fell on the ground and prayed, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, oh, Father, all things are possible unto you. Take this cup from me. But Jesus said, nevertheless. Everybody say, nevertheless. Nevertheless. Jesus has just told his Father, you know, if it's possible, take this cup. But nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. And he comes and he finds his disciples sleeping, and he says to Simon Peter, and Simon says, go out here. You can't even stay awake for 1 hour. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, and the flesh is weak. And again, Jesus went away and prayed. Now, in the English vocabulary, there are just a few words that can change an entire context of a sentence, a conversation, even the outcome of a situation, a few words that can change an entire family or an entire life. Those words, and I've only pulled out a few, I'm sure those of you who are English scholars might know a few more, but if is a word that will change many things. If my people will pray. Not when my people will pray, but if my people will pray. But how many times have we said to someone, do so and so and so and so, and they turn around and they say, but that changes everything. Nevertheless changes everything. Nevertheless changed the outcome for Peter. It changed the outcome for Joshua and Caleb. And another word is however. In our text today, a single word changed entire situations. The plight of the children of Israel. One simple word, nevertheless. It simply means that although we do not want to yield or concede to the demands or the circumstances, we have submitted our will through the power of nevertheless. Some things are hard for us. Nevertheless, I'll give it a go. That means I'm not giving up. Simon toiled all night. He was a professional fisherman. He knew the seas. Did Jesus know the seas? No, Peter knew the seas. Nevertheless, at thy word, he launched out. The spies, they all saw the land those 40 days, the giants, the fruit. Nevertheless, the negatives won. I want to say to us all today, majority is not always right.
That's right.
Jesus, facing his crucifixion, was faced with a situation, but he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. What I want to point out to us today, both as individuals and as a church and as families, the power and strength that lies in the simple word, nevertheless. A number of years ago, we were coming from Adelaide, and I'm sure you've heard this testimony, but I want to share it with you because it means something to me. We had decided to take a different route home, to go through the Little Desert or something, the Mallee Desert. And we had an old car, the flow-through air conditioning, you know, where the windows wind down and we're driving and the radiator light comes on. And we're in a desperate need of help. We had not seen anyone. We were on this road on our own. There was young people, they were before mobile phone days. And even if you did have a mobile phone, you probably didn't have a tower to get any reception. So we were out there by ourselves, all five of us. Were you with us, Heather? Four of us. What do? You pray. You cry out, Lord God, send someone today. Send someone. Lord, I don't know where you're going to send them from, but you've got to send someone because otherwise we're going to spend the night in the desert. Just imagine spending the night in the desert with who knows what? Big spiders, snakes, ooh. Well, my husband gets out, I'm there praying and probably encouraging the kids to pray because prayer works, doesn't it, Lachlan? Prayer works. If we pray and ask God to help us, guess what? He helps us. He sends somebody. So this car, this beat up car, probably a little bit older than the one we had, he comes up from the way we had traveled and the man got out of the car and he says, probably like an Aussie, I can't remember exactly, but he says, g'day, mate. Got a problem? Yeah. The radiator is boiling and we have no water. Oh, no problem, he says. He goes to the back of his car. He pulls out a bottle, a cuddly bottle, a purple one, in fact, and he gives it to my husband. He says, now just go over that sand dune, through that fence, and you will find a well. Wow. We could have listened or we could have chosen not to listen. Nevertheless, we thought, nothing to lose. So we go over, well, my husband and Jonathan go over the sand dune, and there is a well. Why do I know that that man was sent from God? Because we cried out to God. I believe with all my heart that day the Lord sent an angel to help us. Nevertheless, we had a choice whether we would listen to what he had to say or leave it to maybe walking to the next town, maybe 50 miles. Oh my goodness. But God sent someone. But right at that point, we had a choice to listen and obey or just rely on your own strength. And many times in our life, we have those choices. I think this, but the Word of God says that. So nevertheless, what do we do? In the story of in the book of Numbers, the nevertheless changes a very positive situation. We are well able into a very negative situation. No, no, we can't do it. Joshua and Caleb that pulled down those bunches of grapes and the figs, they weren't the negative ones. It wasn't just Joshua and Caleb who ate the fruit in the promised land until the juice was dripping from their chin. It was all 12 of them. However, the 10 spies, there was a nevertheless with them that changed the entire situation for a whole nation. Majority is not always right. And in our life, sometimes we have to say, nevertheless. Young people, sometimes your friends ask you to go somewhere and you say, nevertheless, I will not go. Or nevertheless, I will not do. We heard it this morning about a friend. Sometimes our friends, we think they mean well, but we know that if we would go down that road, it would be a road that would lead to destruction. So we have to learn to say, nevertheless, I will obey what the Word of God says. The attitude was, yes, there's plenty of promise in the land that we spied out, but in spite of all that, it was nevertheless, we're not going in, that stopped everything. Simon Peter, we go back to him in Luke. He really didn't want to throw out his nets again. He had spent all morning cleaning those nets. And I've never had to clean nets, but I'm sure it took him time to get all the rubbish out of his nets. They're nice and clean for tonight, as it were, because it was the next day. But he said, nevertheless, at thy word, I will do it. There is power to change a negative situation into a positive situation by using the word nevertheless. Lord, we've worked all night, and caught not a single thing, but in spite of who you are and what I have seen in your life, nevertheless, I will do it. It will change our life if we read the Word of God and obey what the Word of God says. It will change our life. We may not understand everything, but nevertheless, I will obey. Jesus said, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Jesus did not really want to go through everything. Right at that time when he wanted his friends and needed his friends, he is human. He was not just God. He was human as well. But he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Why do I say all that? Because with us sometimes it's okay to say, Lord, I don't really understand everything. I really don't know where you want me to go. I really don't understand this and this and this. I don't understand why I have to do this. But nevertheless, at thy will, I will do it. Because your word says that. I wrote down some things here. In conclusion, wherever I read something like this, I wonder how I can apply it to my life. And the word and the attitude of nevertheless has the ability to change everything. And there are some things that are hard for us. One of the most difficult challenges in our life is to be in the world, but not of the world. And we heard this morning. In the world, but we are not to be partakers of this world's goods. We heard it this morning about some friends. Yes, we want to win our friends to the Lord, but some friends are not good for us. I don't understand it, but it's not good for me to hang around with some people. The Bible makes it quite clear that we have to live in this world to achieve our eternal destination. Because Jesus said, they are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. And in Isaiah 52 verse 11, it says, depart, depart from out of here. Touch no unclean thing. Come out from it and be pure. Who can carry the treasures of the Lord's house? And brothers and sisters, we have the treasures of the Lord within us. We have the power and the presence of God in our life. We are but earthen vessels, but we have this treasure. Separation and separating evil from our lives has become more essential since our homes are so wired to bring much of the world into our homes and into our families. It's almost like we have to partake of these things. If we are not vigilant, we will be overtaken. We need to be vigilant and on the lookout. When the Bible says, young people, that we should adorn ourselves in modest apparel, what is our attitude? That's what the Word of God says. Adorn yourself in modest apparel. What is your attitude? Majority is not always right. And you can say, Lord, I don't understand, but because it's in your word, I will obey. Sometimes we may not understand, just as Simon Peter did not understand, launch out, put your nets in again. I have spent all morning cleaning, but nevertheless, I will trust you. I will obey. What about tithing? 10% of my wage I have to pay? I can barely survive on the 100% if I were to use it all. But nevertheless, because I read it in Malachi chapter 3, to bring the full tithe to the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord of hosts. See if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing without measure. In verse 11, it says, I will rebuke the devourer for you, so it will not destroy the fruits of your land, says the Lord of hosts. Then all the nations will call you blessed, says the Lord. We don't understand paying tithes. I don't always understand. But the word of God says it. Nevertheless, I will obey it. Another area, tattoos, young people. A fad, a trend that has invaded our world. We just came back from New Zealand and my goodness, everybody over there almost has a tattoo. Just because it's the trend, should we go down that road? The Bible encourages Christians, present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. I don't understand, Lord, but nevertheless, because your word says it, I will do it. I say, if regarding tattoos, use your power of reason as to why you would even want a tattoo. If it is because you want to follow the fad or you want to show membership of something, remember your feelings may prove less permanent than the tattoo. because we change our minds sometimes, like we change the weather changes. Examine our motives can help us to make wise decisions. Proverbs 4 verse 7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. If you want to get wisdom and you want to get understanding, get into the Word of God. It is easy to read it when you understand what the Lord is trying to do with us. He is trying to make us a people ready for heaven, to be in His presence. I don't understand everything in the Word of God, but nevertheless, I will endeavor to obey what the Word of God says. You may desire to follow some trends, some fashions, some fads of this world, but tonight, please let your attitude be, nevertheless, I will submit to God's will. When the Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate, that's exactly what we need to do. In this world, but not of this world. We need to be separate. We need to be, as Chronicles talks about, that exceeding magnificent tabernacle that David wanted to build. Why did he want it to be exceeding magnificent? So that the fame of it would go out across the lands and across the nations. And what that means is God wants us to be a perfect treasure, that people will brag on us, that people will say, the Lord has blessed you. But he cannot do that unless we say, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. So the power of nevertheless can change us, can change a church, it can change things, it can change a family. Nevertheless, I don't understand it, but I will do it. And there are those that who have said, it looks promising at first, easy at first. Pastor, yes, your counsel sounds good. But in spite of that, I choose to obey those who have the rule over me. I don't understand what you're saying, Pastor, but I will choose to obey, even though I don't understand. The power of nevertheless, you hold it within your hands as to what sort of difference it will make in your life. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul says, for this cause, and we know what Paul went through. He went through many, many things. I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Paul went through some terrible things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed of him who has called me. God is not upset by our explanations as to why situations seem impossible. Let him hear it. Pour it out to him in prayer. But let, when it all be said and done, say, nevertheless, I will do what you tell me, Lord. What your word says, I will do. Paul was able to handle everything for two reasons. He was able to handle his circumstances, his trials, because of two facts. I know whom I have believed. I ask you tonight, do you know in whom you have believed? Do you know? The Bible says, they that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Do we know him? Do we know about him? Or do we just see him afar off? And Paul said, I am persuaded. I know without a doubt that he is able to keep that which I commit to him. Nothing I have ever done for God is lost, because he is the one who keeps the records. He promises eternity. He has the words of eternal life. That's what Nicodemus said when he came. Lord, you have the words of eternal life, and within the pages of this book are the words of eternal life. You may not understand everything that's in this word, but nevertheless, obey it, for you will have long life. Let's all stand together. And I will just ask you to take a few moments just to think about, search search your heart. What is it that you need to say, nevertheless? I don't understand, Lord. I don't understand why I have to go through these things. I don't understand why, whatever your situation is, but I will say, nevertheless, I will obey.